Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10 a.m. We are located just north of 51st Street on Lynn Lane in Broken Arrow. For more information, please check out our website at ablazechurch.org.
Well, you saw the props, the ball, okay? Just to kind of illustrate, this whole theme that we're in this season is, we've been using football kinds of things. I'm sorry about OU today. And if you're from Texas, I'm sure you're saying, oh, wow, how great is that? Games can be won and lost on some really tricky things. And you know how a football kind of bounces? You're not sure exactly where it's going to go. And sometimes it is the bounce of the ball that makes the difference between winning and not winning a game. And above all, getting a grip, hanging on to the ball, making sure that you can take that ball, for the first down or make that play or get all the way down there. So the whole idea is don't lose your grip. Don't lose your grip. In the sports world, grip is really, really important. You know how it is in football or in baseball? How do you grip that bat? In golf, how do you grip this thing? You can get videos just on how do you hold that club so you get the maximum effect of it. And I guess I've never really quite gotten it that well. But, I just play for the fun. At least that's what I say because I'm not that good. But anyway, don't lose the ball. Don't lose it. You want to keep that basketball under your control. You don't want the opposition to take it. And as you picked up from the kids' message, it really has to do with our life in God, our spiritual life. The enemy, the opponent, wants to get the ball away from us. So don't lose your grip. And what comes to my muddled mind at this point is when everything's going crazy, when I get that kind of brain gridlock and, that brain freeze, just everything seems to be in a kind of a confusion. You're getting delusional, you're getting paranoid, you're getting kind of out of control, and someone says to you, hey, get a grip. If I could get a grip, I would already have done it. I'd tell that to myself. Just this last week on Thursday, I said, I think I'm going to lose my grip, because the first thing that happened was as we are on our trying to get home, and I'm getting in, and I'm seated in the plane. I said, oh, no, where's my wallet and my passport? Oh, no. Well, anyway, just right down on the floor by my feet. And said, okay, everything's good from now on. But the rest of the day, it was just one thing after another, after another, after another. So, hey, get a grip. Eventually, you're going to be able to get home. But it was that sort of an ordeal. It says, I think I'm losing my grip here. It reminded me on the 12th of August this year, and I'm coming home, and I walk in the door, and, I do the sniff test. I wonder what's in the oven. I wonder what's being cooked. And so she sees me doing that, and she gets that kind of strange look on her face. And I said, what's for dinner? She says, what do you mean, what's for dinner? Don't you know what today is? You're taking me out for dinner. This is our anniversary. I am losing my grip. And by the way, Thursday morning began with, it was kind of like this, getting everything packed in because we got to make it to that plane. And it's early in the morning, and I'm, where are my glasses? Where are my glasses? They're exactly where they are right now. That's where they were. So anyway, but I thought, well, am I losing my grip? What is that, a senior moment or something? And I realized, I thought back, I said, that happened in my 20s. That happened in my 30s. And it's even happening now that I'm just emerging into my 40s. Times two. Okay. But getting and keeping a grip in life. How is it that we lose our grip? I'm going to talk about a couple of things. One is we sometimes lose our sight. Sometimes we lose our way. Sometimes we lose our touch. When we talk about losing our sight, when we lose sight of the right kind of goal in life, that's a problem. Well, what is your actual goal in life? To succeed at the game, you got to have the right goal. Now, there was a guy, his name is Brent Parker. He was a member of the church that I served back here in Broken Arrow and was very involved in our men's ministry. But then one day I realized, hey, this guy, he used to play football for OSU. He was really an excellent, outstanding player. In fact, his son plays now for OSU. And what I found out about Brent was this. He had a distinction at OSU in the recorded annals of football. He is the only one in pass defense who intercepted the pass that the opposition was throwing, but he went all the way to the wrong goal and scored for the opposition. Whoa. You know, a lot of people have got that problem. They're running toward the wrong goal in life. There's anything short of our goal being for the glory of God. Anything short of that is not a particularly good goal. Now, it's okay to have goals like, yeah, what about a goal of being wealthy? What about a goal of being successful? Anything like that is fine as long as it's under the control of the Holy Spirit. Then it can be a great goal, a holy kind of a goal, but secondary at best to simply serving one's life up for the glory of God. So what is your goal? You know you have a goal, even if you haven't written it down. As a matter of fact, it really doesn't matter what you've written down. But let's try this one from the prophet Micah. See what he says. It says in Micah 6:8, this is a goal, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Sounds a little bit like love God, love others, follow Jesus, tell others, huh? In order that we might become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Wow, what a goal. That's an incredible goal to have. In fact, that's the kind of a goal, if we pursue that in the power of the Holy Spirit, it will make us winners. But there are other goals that people can pursue that make them losers, because Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his own soul? You see, he's dropped the ball. He doesn't have a grip on the ball. And therefore, you know, you're out of the game at that point. So Jesus told us we can have the whole world, but yet lose our grip. When we do it, when we lose sight of what our goal is in life. Especially, we do this by substituting lesser goals than the glory of God in our lives. And you know what? We're all pursuing goals. You want to know what your goals are? If you kept a time log, look at how your time was used, or shall I say spent, instead of necessarily invested. Look at your credit card statement, look at your bank statement. That will actually reveal more than what your stated, you know, written down goal is for your life. That can be very scary, and it can be very revealing. Check it out, because maybe you might be dropping the ball by pursuing the wrong goal in life, losing sight of the real goal. So get a grip, and go for the right goal. See, sometimes we have to let go of good things in order to hold on to the better thing in life. So sometimes we lose sight of the goal, but we can also lose sight. This gets now in a very special kind of into the core of what our faith is. Don't lose sight of the cross. Losing sight of the cross is a very serious issue. Now, I don't know if you ever saw the movie New in Town, but we were once new in town in Broken Arrow. The year was 1982. I was serving at Emmanuel Lutheran, which was at that time the church up on the hill there, okay? And so when my wife would get out and she would drive someplace, and at first she was a little bit confused, even though all the roads are straight in this area. And she would sometimes get a little confused. Well, how do I get back? And so she would just kind of stop, and then she would look, and then she could see that church up on the hill, which had a cross on the top, see? Then she could always find her way home. And that's important for us because, you see, we need to keep our eye on the cross. If we want to find our way home to our relationship with God, You see, there's a problem that Christians often face, and that is instead of looking at the cross, they begin to look at themselves. Am I doing enough? Am I advancing enough? Am I growing enough? Am I this or that? Enough, enough, enough. Am I keeping the commandments? Enough. But that can be, as important as that might be, it can also take us away from looking at the cross, looking at our redemption, looking at our forgiveness, looking at the fact that no matter how bad we've been, God has fully, completely accepted us. And when we look at the cross, it's a resounding statement. You are loved by God so incredibly much. And if we lose sight of that, we drop the ball. Paul wrote to a church that was dropping the ball, the church of the Galatians. And he said, hey, what's happened to you guys? Who's bewitched you? Who's gotten you off track? You guys are dropping the ball. And let me read from chapter 3, verse 11. It says, it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law. That's how they were trying to justify themselves before God. By keeping all the rules, all the regulations. No, did I do enough? Did I do enough? Did I do enough? Am I okay now? Well, if I do a little more, will I be okay? So by performance rather than this truth, the righteous shall live by faith, already penned years before by the prophet Habakkuk. The just shall live. He who is righteous by faith shall live. Well, there's a big difference between living by the law and living in the comfort and the promises of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we begin to get our sights off of the cross, we lose our grip. We drop the ball, and we are in danger of becoming losers. In the process also, we can do another thing, that is lose our way, losing our way. You know, God, at the beginning, he formed us out of dust, and then he breathed in his life. What a beautiful thing, the breath of God himself. So we had the creation of the world. What happens after the creation? The hands go down, the fall. The fall of mankind. Man became a rebel, and it was passed all the way down to us. So we entered into this world as sinners. As a matter of fact, selfish, self-centered sinners. And people running away from the Lord. People getting outside of the grip of the Lord. Isaiah 53 in the 6th verse tells us this, that all we like sheep. Now, who's included in all we? All we, yeah, all y'all, okay, like sheep, have gone astray. What have we done? We have turned everyone to his own way. You see, this is losing our way. That's what sinners do, and we're all sinners. No wonder there are people who seem to lose their way, and then they begin to lose touch with God. They've lost their grip. And so next thing is losing touch. Out of touch with a reality. What reality? Well, the reality of God. Okay? Touch, think of it as connection. Losing our connection with God. Have you ever experienced this? Is sometimes you feel closer to God than at other times? Nobody ever felt that way? Huh? I kind of think everybody's felt that way at times. You know? Man, I'm so close to God, I'm never going to not trust him. I'm just going to follow him, I want to obey him, I just want to do this and that, and you wake up the next morning and it's a whole different world. And you got a whole different mindset. It's part of that we are in danger frequently of losing that connection, losing touch. And when we lose touch, who moved? Did God move? Huh? No, we're the ones who moved. So when we're wondering, where's God? He never moved anywhere, but now he wants to have that connection with us. So how do we get that grip back? How do we get that grip back on life? How do we get that grip back on God? How do we get that grip back with one another as fellow members of the family and the body of Christ our Lord? Well, the secret of keeping your grip, that's what we have to know. How do we do that? Now, back in the days in high school, when we'd play football, we'd put this stuff on our fingers. I don't know if they did back in the days when you, but if you had to handle the ball, you know, say, hey, put some of this stuff on. It'll make your fingers sticky, and then you can hang on to the ball. Well, that seemed to work fairly well, but what's more important is not gripping, but being gripped. That's the secret of not losing our grip, is being gripped in His grip. And you see, the powerful thing behind all of this and success in the Christian life is to know His desire to stay close to us. God desires to stay close to us. He desires that more than is our desire to stay close to Him. In fact, you know, would you go to the cross for that to happen? Jesus did, so that it could happen for us, to be in His grip, be gripped in His grip. And we read from the 8th chapter of Romans, and Paul experienced this in his life, that there isn't anything in all creation that could separate us from the love of Christ, the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. There isn't anything that can separate us. And John quoted the words of Jesus about no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. He's got us in His grip. That's the whole secret of success, in keeping a grip on the ball, keeping a grip on the faith, keeping a grip on that relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, you've probably experienced it. Cross a street with a little child. It's a busy intersection, and you want to be really, really safe. So you say, here, hold on to my hand. Hold on to my hand. Now, a little child doesn't have a hand that is strong enough to hold very well onto an adult's hand. So what actually is happening is the adult, the grown-up, is hanging on more tightly to the child than the child is holding on to the adult. You see, you get the picture. You know what I'm trying to say. God's grip is stronger than our grip is on Him. So grab His, yeah, but He's got His hand working to hold us. But I've also experienced this as a dad, right when you reach out your hand and say, you know, now you hang on to my hand as we're walking through the mall. We don't want you to, you know, somebody else to take you home. And what are they? No, I'm going to do it all by myself. I don't know how often that happens in our lives, but you know what? You stop and think about it, it does. You say, you know, hey, I can handle this. I want to do it all by myself. I want to do it my way. You see, I didn't want to hang on to my parents because they might not do it the way I wanted to do it. And this is what sinners tend to do. But how strong is the hand of God? Well, Exodus 15, verse 6, it says, your right hand, O God, glorious in power, your right hand, O God, karate chops the enemy. That's a little bit of a paraphrase, but you know, when it says it shatters the enemy, He's got that divine karate chop that can take care of the enemy right there. Someone or anything that wants to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. That's how we keep our grip. So looking at the hand of God, that's a pretty powerful hand, isn't it? Huh? That hand formed a universe. That hand, you know, was so strong, just with a couple fingers, He flicked all those stars and the galaxies out into space. Those strong hands took this globe and then, you know, knocked down the edges, made it perfectly round, and put it on its orbit. And then He dug out the oceans, and He etched in the rivers, and He squeezed up the mountains. And then He took some of that material, and He formed a person. He made that person. And He loved that person. Made humanity and then breathed in His very own life. Wow. That's a powerful, powerful hand. And the only way I can keep my grip is to be in the grip of that hand. But it kind of hit me as I was reading in John chapter 10 and got down to verse 30, where Jesus said these words, "The Father and I are one." I thought, well, the Father's hands are so powerful. But this is Jesus speaking, second person of the Holy Trinity, true God from all eternity. And yet, when He was born, the hands were weak, helpless. Motions in random. The very hands that created the universe. And those hands in the weakness, there was such strength as those hands were raised up on the cross. And He was nailed there for us. The Father and I are one. Think of the hand, the powerful hand that is at the same time, the sacrificing hand, the giving hand, the suffering hand, the hand that touches each one, the hand that reached up and picked up a little child. In fact, all the little kids that were there, and he patted them on the head, blessed them, said such beautiful and soothing and wonderful words to those little kids. In his love, he did that. So he is also, these are the hands of a shepherd, the shepherd who cares for his sheep, who strokes his sheep, checks them out, are you okay? Looks at them very carefully. If there's anything stuck in the wool, you know, like sin likes to stick itself in us at times, he just wants to reach and to take it out. He is the shepherd then who laid down his life for his sheep. Well, John 10, 28 and 29, he says, I give them, that is my sheep, eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. The Father who has given them to me is greater than all. That greater means he is stronger, more powerful, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. He's got his lambs in his grip. Folks, he's got us in his grip. I don't know what this last week has been like for you. And maybe there have been times when you felt a little distance. Maybe you felt a little bit farther away. But you know, our God came here tonight in such a way that we could literally touch, taste, feel, smell, taste, hear God coming to his people, God serving his people at his table and in his word. And so that grip, think of it as also an embrace, because it is an affectionate hold upon his sheep. He isn't holding us and holding us as prisoners. He is holding us as loving people hold and embrace the people that they love. And so stay in his grip. Keep your eye on that shepherd of his sheep. Keep your eye on the cross so you don't lose your way. Focus on the word and hang on. Get your grip on this Bible, and that Bible will get a grip on you. It will hold you. And you don't have to be some kind of a bitter clinger, but you can be a bold and a beloved truster in the words and the promises that are here. A joyful, free, exuberant experience of the presence of God in our lives. You want to stay in the game? Don't drop the ball. Get a grip. You know how to get a grip? So you don't lose the grip, so you don't lose sight, so you don't lose your way, so that you don't lose trust, lose your touch. It is to be gripped by him. Paul writes this to the Philippians, but I press on to get a grip of that for which Christ Jesus has gripped me. So whatever is holding on to you, release it. Whatever you're holding on to that is striving to be your master, let go and let the Lord hold you in his grip. Let's pray. Father, loving Father, thank you for sending Jesus into this world. Thank you that you would love us so much, way beyond our imagination. Thank you that you have made us the most blessed of all people. You have made us so blessed, the blessed of all creation, that we would be loved in such a way as Jesus loved and presently, currently loves us. May we rest in that love. May we find our comfort, our security in his grip, so we don't lose ours. In the blessed name of Jesus, amen.